So when you were growing up then, what was it like living on Greenland Farm?
Excellent. I never short of friends because they all my schoolmates always wanted to be down the farm. My only regret is the fact that my stepmother limited the friends' availability of being able to come down to the farm, strictly because I was a worker. I didn't have a childhood as kids do, living in with mum and dad at home, and dad goes off to work and he doesn't work for himself and he doesn't live on a farm. I lived on a farm. All farmers' sons in those days worked. I milked on the morning before I went to school, up at Alton School. So from about six years old, my dad would get me up in the morning and my job was feed the cows in winter. Well, we fed them in the stalls winter and summer. In summer they had sort of tidbits. We'd give them cotton cake. We would call it cotton cake and sugar, just to boost the grass for the yields. But in winter, we used to have to mix the food for them. So we would have mangels, turnips, barley meal, cotton cake, sugar beet pulp, molasses, and we'd mix it all on the stone floor up in, next to the mistle, and then we'd fed them. There was a passageway at the back, so you could feed them in the troughs. So that was my job as a six-year-old, feeding out.
What's a mistle?
A cow buyer. That's the old-fashioned Yorkshire word for a cow buyer, a milking parlour, a mistle.
How was it that Freddie Knowles came to have coaches and take people to the seaside?
Well, during the war, being the eldest son, he maybe had more freedom with having three younger brothers. He started with a taxi. He got a taxi licence and he used to go into Leeds of an evening and the weekend, and he started taxiing, and he finished up, I think he got three or four taxis at the peak of his taxi career.
So he was taxiing people from this area to Leeds?
My dad was never ever what I call a true farmer. My dad was a bit of an entrepreneur. So my dad got taxis and then he branched out. He bought his first 29-seater bus. It was the Bedford, BRN was the registration. So I think it was BRN 649. And then he got two. He got another one, CTL. They were 29-seaters, dual bodies, luxury inside. They were so smart inside. They were top of the range, but they were 29-seaters. Then he went on to 33-seaters and then 41-seaters.
And what were these coaches and buses used for?
Very few people had cars. So at the top of Fleet Lane there, they used to be parked maybe three or four buses, some going to Scarborough, Bridlington, Southport, Blackpool, Cleethorpes, Skegness on a day trip. So families would go and book the seat and they'd leave here at, I think it was 7 o'clock in the morning. Off they'd go to Scarborough and come back about 4:30, 5 o'clock at night. They'd leave and come home.
And who did the driving of those buses?
My dad drove and he had casual part-timers. There were miners, wagon drivers, you name it, people that lived in the village and around the village.
So you can remember all that going on when you were growing up there?
Yeah. I used to have to clean them out.
Where did people get their tickets from?
We had a little booking office down at the farm and they used to come up the drive and go in the side door. The booking office was down the side of the house.
Right.
And you stepped in the hall. It was actually the hallway and there was a desk. You stepped in and there was a little desk, wasn't there?
Right. And what else did he use the buses for?
He used to be on contract to West Riding. West Yorkshire, sorry, not West Riding. So over weekend, he used to do the coast runs on contract to the West Yorkshire. So he'd have so many doing that, but he'd always got his own. And then, of course, you get darts teams, you get the pubs. We had two supporters clubs from the Midland. One supported Leeds United, the other one's Huddersfield. So every away game, every home game, and even some local away games, the bus would go from the Midland, full crew, off you'd go.
How many buses are at the peak of all of that? Do you know? Remember
six.
How many you had?
Six. And then, of course, he had a double-decker. He bought an old West Riding double-decker, and that used to go up to Pennington Lane School and back. So he had a school run. And he used to go to Mickletown as well, years before that.
So what other business was your father doing then when you were growing up?
Well, this is going to blow you away. I'm going to tell you something now that I consider. My dad was one of the pioneers of the all-inclusive package holiday. Now, when I say this, Mr. and Mrs. X, Y and Z, one lives in Woodlesford, one lives in Alton with the families, and maybe one lives in Rothwell. And they have an opportunity to go to Reeton Gap for a week or a fortnight's holiday, to a holiday, not a cottage, not a house, not a caravan, but a holiday home. One was a railway carriage, two were tennis pavilions, and one was a brick-built one, all modern. But they were in Reeton Gap, and they belonged to my dad. And my dad would rent these out to families from after Easter right through to the back end of the holiday period. And whoever booked these holiday, let's call them flats, but they weren't, as you'll see. Yeah. He would go along with a bus, pick each family up with all the tint stuff and all the food that they could buy at home and take with them. So all they needed was bread, milk, and maybe eggs. And he would take them to Reeton Gap, take them to whichever they'd booked, drop them off, come home. If they'd booked a week, the following week he'd take somebody that had booked theirs with the coach. And that was the pack all in. They paid for the trip there and back with the family. They were escorted there, the drop there. It was all self-catering. There were no running water. There was stamp pipe, maybe 1,300 yards away. And he used to fill those holiday homes every week throughout the summer because nobody had cars.
But how did he come by the properties in the first place? Did he go and look for them and buy them? Or did he inherit them in the family in some way?
No, he went and bought them. Three of them were already installed there. And then the other one, his father-in-law, which was my stepmother's father, he built them. He went over there and he built this one as a new one.
When did he start doing that?
He must have been doing that in about 1953.
So in terms of the business of the farm, was the transport and the coaches, did that actually make you more money in the end than farming?
Oh, yeah, eventually. The coaches, I would say in those days, the coaches subsidised the farm because the farming became secondary. And then, of course, I left when I was 17 and a half or thereabouts. So for a period of maybe 10, 12 years, I sort of lost real inside information. But by the time I came back, they had one coach that was on for sale, and Stan Brooksbank bought the last coach, and he did live at Whitwood.
And did your dad diversify into just truck transport as well?
We always had four-wheeler trucks on the farm, but then he got his first one, and there's a photograph of him on the side of one of the Arctics with an old Ford, and that went on the council, Rothwell Council. So he did work on the council with a tipper, and he drove that himself. And then from then, he diversified onto the brewery at Bentley's. And then, of course, when I came back, was 29 or thereabouts, wasn't I? 29, 30, nearly. Of course, I was on the big stuff, on the Arctics. And we bought an Arctic, the first one in the farm, and I went onto the container base with it. And then my brother was 21. I trained him and he got his class one. So then we had two Arctics. And shortly after that, I parted company with my dad again and I formed my own company, DMP Transport.